The story I'm going to read is, I think, probably the longest in the collection, and it's too long for me to get through the whole thing, so I'll just start at the beginning and go for a little while and see where we end up. It's called Bagelmacher. Fat, sweaty, and bald, except for a few greasy strands of hair that he was forever combing back with his pudgy hands, Herman Goldman gave new employees of Bagelmacher a stern lecture on the rules of the shop. "Don't drop the bagels, Feldstein," he warned me, pronouncing each word slowly, separately, to make sure I understood. "To you, they're a bagel. To me, they're 8 cents." In 1970, a bagel cost 8 cents. "Stir the mehl kettle this way," he proclaimed, demonstrating the proper technique. He'd brought his accent from Brooklyn to open Squirrel Hill's first bagel shop, the first anywhere in Pittsburgh. "Never accept any collect calls. I don't care if it's the president. I don't care if it's the Pope. I don't care if it's Jesus Christ himself. No collect calls." Herman was peering right past me at Maria Dubana, delivering his decree loud enough to make sure she heard it. To Herman, all non-Jews were Catholic, and he believed in the necessity of invoking Jesus, the Pope, or both when lecturing the Goyim on weighty matters. Herman thrust out his chin and grunted. His scowl dared her to refute him. "What if it's your wife?" Maria shot back. Herman charged past me, past the stainless steel trough into which the bagels were dumped after they were boiled and before they were laid out in fours on wooden boards to go in the oven, past the baskets that held the bagels after they came out of the oven, to where Maria stood behind the customer counter beside the cash register. Maria had lustrous black hair and a wonderful confusion of curls, waves, and flips. Her white blouse was unbuttoned to the top of her Bagelmacher apron, and I could see a shiny gold heart on her chest. She chewed gum, had thin lines for eyebrows over brown eyes and lashes heavy with mascara, and she wore white lipstick that glistened like vanilla frosting. She handed a customer a paper bag full of bagels with two plastic bags to put them in once they cooled, took the money, made change, and ended the transaction with a polite thank you. The woman smiled pleasantly and wished Maria a good day. "Smart mouth," Herman declared as soon as the customer was gone. "I asked for your opinion." "Fine, your wife calls. I'll tell the operator her husband says to go fuck herself." The front door opened, tinkling a bell over it, and a woman in tennis whites strolled up to the counter. Herman loomed over Maria, his 200 pounds against her 100, his stubby finger stubbing at the air so close to her nose that a white speck of flour landed on her cheek. "I hear that word out of your trashy mouth again, and you're fired." She peeled off her apron, squashed it into a ball, and stuffed it into his gut so hard that he gasped. "You take this fucking job and stick it up your ass," she snapped. She opened the drawer, grabbed her purse, slammed the drawer, and stormed out. "You can't do that," Herman shouted, her apron in his hands. "Maria, you get back in here right now or you're fired." The woman in whites waited to place her order, pretending she didn't hear. I was as peripheral to this conversation as the gleaming stainless steel kettle that bubbled away like a witch's cauldron. Now, with Maria gone, Herman remembered me. "You, Feldstein, get over here," he snarled. "I should pay you to keep the floor from flying away." Herman noticed the apron in his hands and threw it at me with disgust. "What am I supposed to do on a Friday, busiest day of the week, and nobody to wait on customers?" he panted, his palms up to the heavens. "I could learn to run the register," I suggested. His glower told me I might as well have proposed that he open a store on the moon. "Macher. Boys make the bagels. Pretty girls sell the bagels." Then to the lady in whites, "May I help you?" "Half dozen water, quarter dozen pumpernickel, quarter poppy, and half dozen bialys," she said, "and make sure they're fresh." "All our bagels are right out of the oven. What kind do you want for your free one?" "Raisin. Raisin. Right. Here we go. $1.44. She hunted for pennies in the bottom of her purse while Herman waited impatiently, his palm extended to receive the money. "Thank you and have a nice day," he offered with a slight bow as he handed her the bags. "Be careful, you shouldn't burn yourself. They're still hot." The woman clutched the paper bag, scrutinized the contents, and counted. She frowned, counted again, mumbled a goodbye, and left. Herman watched the door shut behind her and grumbled, "Go ahead, count them. I should cheat you. Go eat your raisin bagel." He turned to me. You, Joel, go get Maria, probably down at Minio's, stuffing her face so she'll get zits. Go bring her back. But I, what do I say? How do I, don't argue, do it already. The door opened and a pair of elderly ladies bustled in, their silver hair coiffed as if they'd just been to the beauty parlor together. Herman greeted them and our conversation was over. Minio's Pizza was on the next block of Murray Avenue, past one of Squirrel Hill's two remaining kosher butchers with sawdust-covered floors and live chickens in crates out on the sidewalk. Maria was sitting in a booth filing her nails. I stood before her, intrigued and intimidated. I sensed something gentle in her, something disarming. Herman sent you, she said, holding her hand at arm's length, figured splayed so she could inspect them. Uh-huh. Sit down, you're making me nervous. I slid into the booth opposite her. You like my nails? I think I have ugly hands. Not surprising, working them to the bone in that damn bakery. I had never thought of it as a bakery. To me, a bakery and a bagel shop were two entirely different things. It would have been like calling a tennis court a gymnasium. Besides, Maria worked the cash register, had nothing to do with making the bagels, and had lovely hands. What do you want to work there for anyway, she said. I don't know, it's a job. Give me your hands. I laid my hands on the table. She took one, held it in hers, turned it over, and traced her finger over the lines of my palm. Now the other one. She did the same thing to my other hand. You have nice hands, she said, long lifelines. She ran a finger up my wrist and along my forearm and the inside of my elbow and then down again. Her touch was light, sure, sensual, and suggestive. I'd had girlfriends and held hands and done a lot more than that, but this was different. Maria was older, probably 20 or more, from Greenfield and not Jewish. She was an adult, knew about things I did not, and in her finger was an invitation to share experiences I had only dreamed of. This is just a summer job for you, isn't it? She said softly, her brown eyes gazing into mine. And then you go off to college and become a doctor or a lawyer or something. I have another year, I admitted meekly. She left my hands on the table next to the sugar dispenser and picked up her coffee. I wanted to be a manicurist, she mused, holding the cup to her chin, or a beautician, maybe have my own shop one day. She had gold hearts for earrings. They bobbed when she talked. Why don't you? She put the cup down and smiled patiently at me. What's your father do? She asked. He's a dentist. Mine worked in the mills. Now he's sick and sits around all day. He can hardly breathe. My mother works at the mills too, but she's in the office, so it's not so bad. She wanted to get me a job there, but I said no thank you. I was staring at her face, her mouth, her cheeks, her eyes, her chest with the open buttons and the heart pendant. She was staring right back at me, so it was okay. At least I got to finish high school, you know. But I'm not like you. No daddy to pay for college. I'm not playing summer job. This is my life. This is all I have. You understand? She wasn't telling me this to hold it over me the way a lot of people would have. The I'm better than you because I'm worse off than you speech. No, she was telling me so I would understand her, so I would know her. And there was nothing I wanted more at that moment than to know everything about her. I would have told her anything about me. I wanted her to touch me again, to run her finger over my hand, across my wrist, up the inside of my arm. So, Joel, what did Herman tell you to tell me? He wants you to come back. That's it? I think he really does. He needs you to wait on the customers. The dumb fuck. You know, he really grates on my nerves, the fat pig. I wanted to touch her hair. The girls I knew had straight hair parted in the middle. Maria's looked like you could bury yourself in it and never come out. Look, Joel, you want to do me a favor? Yes, sure, definitely. Go back there and tell the fat fuck I said three things. First, he's a fat fuck and he can go fuck himself. Second, if he wants me to come back, he has to apologize to me for being rude. I won't have any man being rude to me. I may be poor, but I'm not trash, and I expect to be treated like a lady. Third, I want a raise, 10 cents an hour more. What the hell, make it 20 cents? If the fat fuck throws a fit, tell him that to him it's just 20 cents, but to me it's my life. I sat riveted, enthralled, studying every inch of her face. Tell the fat fuck I earn more than that, shorting the customers, knowing which ones don't count the bagels, which ones don't count their change. I'm better than anyone, better than him. Tell him if I don't get my raise, I'm going to turn his fat ass in. I'm going to let the whole world know what a lousy, cheating, lying fuck he is. Tell him that. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But at the same time that my innocence was being shattered, I wanted her even more. She was magic and mystery and possibility. I wanted to kiss her. If you want to find out what happens, you have to buy the book.